Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Father Scott Hurd, who is a priest of the Archdiocese of Washington. He currently serves as the executive director of the Archdiocese Office of the Permanent Diaconate. Father Hurd began his ordained ministry as an Episcopal priest and entered the Catholic Church in 1996. He holds degrees from Oxford University and the University of Richmond. He and his wife Stephanie live in Virginia with their three children. With Father Scott Hurd, we go inside the pages of Forgiveness, A Catholic Approach, published by Pauline Books and Media.
Well, I think Forgiveness, A Catholic Approach is a book that is long overdue. It's hard for me to find another work that is quite like this one. Father Hurd, it is such a subject that is difficult for many of us. It really is an act of the will. It's a decision that we have to let go sometimes of those hurts.
Yes, it is, because, and first of all, thank you for your kind words. But it is essential, as you said, for us to forgive, because when we don't, we can get stuck in bitterness and resentment and anger, and that can have a very real negative effect on us. In the book, I tell a story that I first encountered in, of all places, National Geographic. And it was an article on Pearl Harbor, looking back at the events of 1941, and one of the individuals who was interviewed for this article was a retired veteran. He had been at Pearl Harbor the day of the attacks, and years later he found himself lying in a bed in a VA hospital, dying from internal bleeding ulcers. And as he was lying there, a military doctor walked into the room, picked up the chart that was hanging at the foot of his bed, and he looked at it for a minute, and then he looked at this sergeant dying in the bed. He pointed to his gut and said, "Sarge, I can cure that." But then he pointed to his head and said, "But Sarge, I cannot cure that. Good grief, Sarge, who do you hate?" And somehow this doctor was able to diagnose that this retired sergeant was suffering in this way because of his inability to forgive, let go of the incidents he had experienced during the Second World War. And this had never occurred to this sergeant before, being so stuck in bitterness and hatred. But when he realized what, in a sense, he was doing to himself, he talked to the doctor for an hour. He described himself as bawling like a baby. But at the end of this, he said it felt as if a 500-pound weight had been lifted from his shoulders. And whenever I tell that story to a parish group or another venue, it always is met with nods of the head and ahas. It really seems to register with people, because so many of us have held on to a grudge, and we realize that it has a very negative effect on us. We become living proof of the ancient Chinese proverb, "If you aren't willing to forgive, you'd better be prepared to dig two graves." Hard words, but they really are true.
Well, I think that's part of the beauty of Forgiveness, The Catholic Approach, the book that you've penned, Father Hurd, in its ability to be able to take all the different facets of forgiveness and presents that to us. And not all of them are easy to look at. And you bring up the tough things, you know, like the argument that we hear so often, and I know I've cried out, it's not fair.
Forgiveness is not fair, and I think that that's essential for everyone to appreciate. Fair is an eye for an eye. That's strict justice. But as so many great figures have reminded us over the years, including our Lord, who taught on this subject, if we take an eye for an eye, ultimately we're all going to wind up blind. You know, forgiveness is an act of love. It's our giving to another person a gift of love that finds its origin in the love that God has for us. And for it to be a true act of love, for forgiveness to be a true gift, it can't come with any strings attached or any conditions or expectations. It truly is a gift we give to another person. And it's love isn't concerned with fairness. Love isn't concerned with our getting our fair share. Love is concerned with the good of the other person. And that's what forgiveness is. We are making a free gift of love to another person, not concerned with fairness, but it's an effort to express the compassion, the love, the mercy of God to another person.
Well, and as you point out, there's no exceptions. We can't pick and choose who we forgive.
There are no exceptions to forgiveness. And thank God, as Christians, we are called to extend forgiveness to others the way that our Lord forgives us. And the teaching of the church is quite clear that there is nothing we can do for which we cannot be forgiven. But sometimes we do place, either consciously or unconsciously, you know, exceptions on the forgiveness that we're willing to forgive, extend to others. In the book, I tell of once having received in the mail at home an envelope, and on the outside it said, "You are pre-forgiven. Open up to find out how." And being a priest, you know, you receive an envelope like this and you think, surely there's got to be a good homily illustration in here somewhere.
Right.
So I opened it up, and it was an advertisement for an auto insurance company. And the opening paragraph said, "For your first auto accident, you are pre-forgiven." But then it made no mention of accident number two or accident number three. And, of course, that makes sense for an auto insurance company. But mm-hmm. In the book, I make the point that sometimes we apply that same methodology to the forgiveness that we extend to others. We're willing to forgive one offense, but when it comes to a second or a third, well, we draw the line. So really, when we act that way, the so-called forgiveness we give isn't really forgiveness. It's probation. Mm-hmm. I'll forgive you this one time, but if you do it one more time, by golly, your number is up. And this is part of the challenge that our Lord extends to us, is to be generous in forgiving, but then he is the one who shows us the way in being so generous in the forgiveness he gives to us.
It's so tough in so many ways. And I think that's, we have to just look at the crucifix and our blessed Lord. It is something that is difficult to do. We're called not to be doormats. And yet, how do you know what the line is?
Right. And that's such a good question, because you use that phrase, you know, we don't want to make ourselves into doormats. And many good people believe, or shall I say, fear that by being a forgiving person, we do make ourselves into doormats or punching bags. And a story I often tell comes from a parish series on forgiveness that I gave several Lents ago. And I was speaking about our Lord's teaching that we need to forgive others 70 times, seven times, in accordance with how he taught. And at one point, this one participant very kind of timidly raised her hand. And just looking at this person, she appeared one of those people who have just been deeply hurt or wounded or abused. She had that kind of coward look to her. And I couldn't help but think that either she or someone close to her was a victim of domestic violence and domestic abuse. And her question was, if we forgive another 70 times, seven times, we're just inviting someone to hurt us over and over and over again. And I was so glad that she asked that question, because that's a misconception that many people have. We can forgive others while at the same time we can protect ourselves from harm. We can forgive others while at the same time challenging their behavior if it is hurtful to us, to others, or to themselves. And in particular, situations of domestic violence, a typical mindset is this. A Christian woman finds herself in a marriage, and she thinks rightly, well, this is a sacrament, and I promised for better, for worse, till death do us part. I have this abusive husband, but after every act of abuse, he says he's sorry, and our Lord teaches us to forgive, so I need to forgive him. And, well, Jesus also taught us that we need to carry a cross, so my enduring this terrible situation must certainly be the cross that I myself need to carry. And sometimes these victims can even think that they're somehow being punished by God. And to address this, I think it's important that we make a distinction between what we can call necessary suffering and unnecessary suffering. And we can see this played out in our Lord's life. Jesus himself at times removed himself from situations where he was going to be harmed or even killed. There were occasions where people wanted to stone him or throw him off a cliff, and he got away from those situations. When he was a newborn, Herod and the killing of the innocents, Mary and Joseph took their infant child and they fled. They fled down to Egypt, the scriptures tell us. So we can see in the example of our Lord's life that there are situations in which we can legitimately avoid being hurt and protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, in our Lord's life, we have his passion, his death and resurrection. Jesus was very clear that he needed to undergo that experience in order to fulfill the Father's will for him. It was all part of the Father's plan for our salvation. But he was very insistent, especially in Luke's gospel. He said that that passion had to take place at a particular location, and he identified it as Jerusalem, and it had to take place at a particular time. He said in one instance, not yesterday, today, or tomorrow, but later on. So in that example, Jesus is making a distinction for us between, as I said, necessary suffering and unnecessary suffering. Unnecessary suffering simply makes us victims of another's illness or sin. Necessary suffering is what we endure. It's part of our becoming or allowing others to become the people God called them to be. It's part of God's plan. Is it hard to discern between the two? Yes, but I think it is important for us to remember that there is a distinction, and that in being forgiving people, we aren't just giving others a license to harm us over and over again.
I am recalling, Father Hurd, the words of St. Catherine of Siena in her dialogues, that you know that it's a response from God when it is exhibited in virtue. And even in our suffering, if we're able to continue the virtuous life through it, there's good that can come out of it. But if we sink into those vices of pride, of jealousy, of envy, or even an anger that is not a holy or just anger, that those should be warning signs for us.
I think that's a very important observation in well, we can apply that to every element and aspect of our lives, but certainly if we're trying to discern, well, is this a suffering that I am being called upon, invited by the Lord to endure, or is this something that he wants me to get away from? And you mentioned just a second ago anger, mm-hmm. and I'm glad that you did, because many, many good people are concerned that if they feel angry after they have been hurt in some way, that they're sinning, that this is sinful behavior. And I think it's important to stress the point that when we have been hurt or when we encounter a grave injustice, anger is a natural response. Anger is a feeling, and feelings, as you know, in and of themselves are neither right nor wrong. They're just there. It's how we act on those feelings that puts us into the realm of virtue and vice and right and wrong. So we can feel angry legitimately after we have been hurt. We can forgive another while we still feel angry. But what we don't want our anger to do is to harden into bitterness, resentment, that desire for revenge. But instead, we can allow that anger to perhaps give us the oomph, if you will, to do what is right in face of a wrong, to try to be God's agent in bringing a good out of evil. So I thank you for raising that point, because so many people will say to me in my pastoral ministry, well, Father, I don't think I've forgiven this person because I still feel angry. And I assure them that, well, no, forgiveness is a decision to let go of that desire to retaliate. You can make that decision regardless of your feelings. And people are usually grateful when they hear that message.
Oh, I'm happy to hear it.
Oh, good.
Well, we're talking with Father Scott Hurd about his book, Forgiveness, A Catholic Approach. And I truly believe in my heart, Father Hurd, that this is a book that needs to be in every home. And anyone who wants to live the Christian life, whether it's Catholic or someone outside of that full communion with the Catholic Church, I still think it's intrinsic to the Christian message, because it's a difficult thing. Our Lord, again, on the cross, he looked up to the Father and pleaded with him, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. And sometimes that's what we need to do, is to turn to the Father when it's difficult for us, even in the suffering of that pain, of that hurt.
Well, absolutely. And actually, that's the first thing that we do need to do when we have been harmed by another, and when we have an opportunity to forgive. We need to turn, first of all, to our Father, because as Christians, we're being invited to forgive others as God has forgiven us. And so we can't do it without the grace of God. We cannot act as God does to us without the very help of God, without grace. And I like to make the point in the book that when we are struggling to forgive, one of the best things we can do is actually go to confession, mm-hmm. and celebrate that sacrament of reconciliation, because we can't give what we don't have. Mm-hmm. And when we know that we ourselves have been forgiven by a loving God, it is that much easier to then go forth and to extend that same forgiveness to others.
Mm, beautiful. Father, one of the most poignant chapters for me when I was reading this was one that made me stop and go, wait a second, was the one on what did I do? So often, I think it, when you brought up the Paul McCartney example of yesterday, mm-hmm. and how the lyrics have been changed, could you talk about that for us? Because I think that's something that we're all guilty of in a real way, if we're honest.
Absolutely. And I love that example. I will give a shout out to Newsweek magazine from an interview with Paul McCartney, and of He was speaking about perhaps his most famous song, Yesterday, and the original lyrics are, I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. And as you mentioned, in so many of the remakes or the cover versions, those lyrics have been changed to, I must have said something wrong, which, as Paul McCartney says, means, I doubt if I really did.
Right.
You know, in his version, the singer takes responsibility for their actions. I did something wrong, and another person who I love has left me because of what I did. As opposed to the others, well, you know, my ex-girlfriend or what have you must have been too sensitive or what have you. It's their fault, not mine. And, you know, we do that in so many areas of our life. If we're driving a car and if we're speeding on the highway, we justify our actions and think, well, you know, I'm an important person and I got to get to point A to point B and be there on time. But if we see somebody else driving fast, we think they're a reckless driver. When we are struggling to forgive, to try to appreciate another person's motives, to try to appreciate the circumstances that have led them to act in the way they did toward us, that can help us to forgive because it helps us to appreciate their broken humanness, which reminds us of our broken humanness. And when we remember that, well, we can take a step back from a situation and say, gosh, did I play a part in leading to the situation that led to my hurt? Were they reacting to something I did? It doesn't excuse them for what they did to us, but we can help us to appreciate why they acted the way they did. And when we can appreciate their motives, we can see that they're broken human beings like we are. It can be that much easier to forgive them.
And you really bring forward for us the importance of forgiving for our own health. And I'm not just talking about physical, but also spiritual health, because in not forgiving, it almost like it winds up and it becomes a cancer for us. And that's why it's important to forgive many things. It's not just the big hurts in life, which are very important, like the one you described about the person who had to go very deep back into his background, that essential.
Right.
But it's for the person that you're, the employer that has hurt you, a coworker, a family member, the person down the street in the school parking lot, or the pastor that's disappointed. I mean, it's so many things that we encounter every day.
Well, absolutely. And life gives us innumerable opportunities to extend forgiveness. And, you know, it's not just the biggies, as you mentioned, which are probably few and far between in our life, but it's the more day-to-day stuff. Sometimes the hardest people to forgive are those who are closest to us. The day-to-day hurts that can build walls between us one brick at a time. You know, by being people who forgive, that can help to break down that wall, which sometimes those hurtful actions can build between us. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations at work, at home, what have you, where there seems to be an absence of love. And as St. John of the Cross said, when we encounter a loveless situation and we want to find love, we need to first put in love, and then there will be love there for us to find. And sometimes we can infuse love into a loveless situation by forgiving. And sometimes the Lord invites us to be the one to take an initiative in a relationship, in a difficult situation, to be the first one to act, to forgive as a first step toward healing, not only of ourselves, but perhaps also of a situation and a relationship.
Forgiveness, A Catholic Approach, the book by Father Scott Hurd, you bring up that it's important that our identity isn't one of victim. Our identity is a child of God. We are a member of the body of Christ. And if we are going to be that, then we are a forgiving person. I mean, that should be our identity.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, one way that we can grow into the person that God has called us to be is by being people who forgive. You mentioned victimization, and sometimes we can come to see ourselves exclusively in those terms. We are the jilted spouse. We are the mistreated employee and so forth. And, you know, sometimes even, you know, we can hold on to that identity because we can use it to get sympathy from others. You know, at times we like to play the martyr and so forth. But really, you know, when we get stuck in a place like that, we're not opening ourselves up to the abundant life of grace that the Lord has invited us to live. But by being people open to God's forgiveness and who are willing to extend that forgiveness to others, we grow, as you said, into being the child of God that we were created to be. And really, if you think about it, by being people who forgive, we are creating a little bit of heaven on earth. And there's perhaps no nobler aspiration for a Christian to spread some of God's grace and love in a world so desperately in need of it.
Beautifully said. As you also write so beautifully, the importance of that pouring out of grace and our ability to be able to receive an abundance of that in the Eucharist and again in that wonderful gift of reconciliation, those sacraments, and in so many other ways. I could just sit at your feet all day and listen to you talk about forgiveness, Father.
Yeah, well, you're very kind. You're very kind. But I'm grateful that you found some help in the book. But it's certainly my hope and my prayer that others can benefit from this in some way as well. I mean, we all need to learn forgiveness. It doesn't come naturally to us. Blessed Pope John Paul II said forgiveness is a way of acting against our natural instinct to return evil for evil. And so I'm continuing to always how to learn to be a forgiving person, and I hope that some of the insights I've gained are reflected well in the book, and they can be a blessing to others as well.
Oh, it's beautiful. Thank you so much for joining us, Father Scott Hurd.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure and joy to be on the program.
Can we ask for your priestly blessing?
Absolutely. Good and gracious God, we ask you to pour your richest blessing upon all those listening to this program. Help them to be open to your forgiveness that you give so generously to us. Guide them, empower them by your grace to be people to extend that forgiveness to others, that your kingdom may be built up in our world, that there may be healing, love, and peace in our world today. And may Almighty God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Thank you, Father Scott Hurd.
Thank you.
We've gone inside the pages of Forgiveness, A Catholic Approach, with Father Scott Hurd. To learn more about this book or to obtain a copy, go to pauline.org, the website for its publisher, Pauline Books and Media, or you can obtain it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.